Model Test 12, Section A. 1. Would you like a coffee for a break?
Just wait for a while. I'm trying to finish the experiment before the meeting.
Question. What does the woman want to do? Two. I'm about worn out. I've been busy at the office and I've got a stiff neck and sore shoulders. Guess I'm getting old.
Don't be silly. You just need a good rest.
Question. What is the man's real problem?
Three. I hope you like the novel I lent you. I wasn't sure whether it was the kind of book you would be interested in.
You know, I had the same doubt at first. But once I started, I simply couldn't put it down.
Question. What does the man mean? Four. I'm not sure whether Professor Brown's test will cover the second part of the course or not.
Well, from what's been going around, perhaps you shouldn't throw these notes away quite yet.
Question. What can we infer from the conversation? Five. I certainly hope this film is worthwhile. My feet are freezing, and I can't stand the cold much longer.
I hate standing in a line anyway. If we don't get in soon, let's just forget it and go somewhere else.
Question. Where are the man and the woman at this moment?
Six. Hello, this is Mark Smith. I'm calling to see if my blood test results are in.
Well, Dr. Miller sent them to the lab last night, so the earliest time they could be back is tomorrow.
Question. What do we learn from the conversation?
Seven. May I ask how much you paid for this journal?
I don't know exactly because I have subscribed to it. Though each issue comes a few days later, it costs about 30% less overall.
Question. Why did the man subscribe to the journal?
Eight. Is this the bookcase you advertised?
Yes, it's our regular $50 bookcase on sale today for $40. If you buy a pair, you can save another $5 for each.
Question. How much will the man pay if he buys two bookcases?
Now you will hear two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
Hello, Sunnyside Inn. May I help you?
Yes, I'd like to reserve a room for the 21st of March.
Okay. Let me check our books here for a moment. The 21st of May, right?
No, March, not May.
Oh, sorry. Let me see here.
Are you all booked that night?
Well, we do have one suite available, complete with a kitchenette and sauna bath. And the view of the city is great, too.
How much is that?
It's only $200, plus a 10% room tax.
Oh, that's a little too expensive for me. Do you have a cheaper room available, either on the 20th or the 22nd?
Well, would you like a single room or double room?
Single room, please.
Okay. We do have a few rooms available on the 20th. We are full on the 22nd, unless you want a double room.
Well, how much is the single room on the 20th?
$80, plus a 10% room tax.
Okay, that'll be fine.
All right. Could I have your name, please?
Yes, Bob Maxner. M-A-E-X-N-E-R.
Okay, Mr. Maxner. We look forward to seeing you on March the 20th.
Okay. Goodbye.
Questions 9 to 12 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
9. What seems to be the woman?
Ten. What type of room will the man reserve?
11. How much will the man pay for one night if he stays in a suite?
12. When will the man arrive?
2.
So, have you found a job yet?
No, but I have a few leads, so things are looking up.
What kind of job are you looking for?
Actually, I want to work for a web hosting company.
What would you do there exactly?
Well, I'd like to work in technical support. You know, helping customers resolve computer-related problems with their sites. And you know I'm a good communicator.
So, how's the pay for that sort of job?
Well, most people I know start out with a very reasonable salary. You can earn pay increases depending on your performance.
So what about benefits?
Oh, the benefits are pretty good. They provide health insurance, 2 weeks of paid vacation a year, and opportunities for advancement.
Well, is there a long-term job security in a job like that?
That's hard to tell. I mean, the internet is booming and these kinds of companies are sprouting up everywhere, which is a good thing. But just like the dot-com era, you never know how long things will last.
Well, have you ever thought about going back to school to improve your job skills?
What are you suggesting?
You know, you did drop out of college.
I know. But I don't know. I'm just seeing my current job at McDonald's as a step up. I don't have the resources at the moment to do that. However, the job I'm looking at will pay for some classes after I've been with the company for 6 months.
Well, it looks like you have things planned out this time.
If I last that long.
Questions 13 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
13. In which field is the man desiring a job?
14. How's the future of the internet industry, according to the man?
15. What do we learn from the conversation about the man's educational background?
1.
Cancer is among the top killer diseases in our society today, and scientists have found out that stress helps to bring it on. It is worthwhile to consider, therefore, what are the causes of stress in our life and whether we can do anything about them. Are we underemployed or overburdened with too many responsibilities? Do we have a right balance of work and leisure in our lives? Are our relationships with family, friends, or fellow workers all they should be? All these things can be a cause of stress, and it is best to face them honestly and to bring our frustrations into the open. People who have a good row and then forget it are doing their health more good than those who bottle up their feelings. If our self-examination has brought any causes of stress to light, Let us consider what we can do about them. It is possible to change jobs. We can make more leisure and fill it more happily if we will accept a different living standard. We can improve our personal relationships by a different attitude. It is we who allow other people to make ourselves unhappy. Often, the little things that disturb us are not worth an hour's anger. The teaching in the Bible, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath," is good advice from the health point of view as well as the religion.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard.
16. Which of the following statements is true?
Seventeen. According to the passage, which of the following types of people is more likely to suffer from stress?
Eighteen. Which of the following is not mentioned as a way to reduce our stress?
2. Crime has its own cycles, a magazine reported some years ago. Police records show a surprising relation between changes in the season and crime patterns. The pattern of crime has changed very little over a long period of time. Murder reaches its high during July and August, as do other violent attacks. Murder, in addition, is more than seasonal. It is a weekend crime. It is also a nighttime crime. 62% of murders are committed between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. One is most likely to be robbed between 6 p.m. and 2 a.m. on a Saturday night in December, January, or February. Except for one strange statistic. May is the least criminal month of all. Apparently, our intellectual season cycles are completely different from our criminal patterns. Professor Huntington made a lot of studies to discover the seasons when people read serious books, attend scientific meetings, and make the highest scores in examinations. In all examples, he found a spring peak and an autumn peak separated by a summer low. On the other hand, Professor Huntington's studies showed that June is the peak month for suicides and for admitting patients to mental hospital. June is also a peak month for marriages. Possibly, high temperature and humidity bring on our strange and surprising summer actions. But police officers are not so sure. There are, of course, no proof of a relation between humidity and murder, they say. Why murder's high time should come in the summertime, we really don't know.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the passage you have just heard.
19. What is the passage mainly about?
20. Which is the safest season according to the passage?
21. What did Professor Huntington's research show?
3. No matter who you are or where you come from, one thing is certain. You are familiar with the mosquito. Mosquitoes can be found everywhere, and there are more than 2,500 kinds of them. Somewhere, at some time, you have surely met at least one. No one loves mosquitoes, but unfortunately, The mosquito may decide that she loves you. She? Yes, she. Only the female mosquito bites, while the male lives on the nectar of flowers. And it's not because she is more unfriendly than the male towards you. It is because she needs blood to reproduce. Do you know how the female mosquito decides whom to bite? She is quite selective, and she chooses the victim carefully. First, she uses sensors on your body to find her victim. With these sensors, she tests your body moisture, body warmth, and chemical substances in your sweat. If she likes what she finds, she bites. If not, she will reject you for someone else. If the mosquito likes you, she settles onto your body very gently, and she breaks your skin with the tip of her mouth, which contains 6 sharp needle-like instruments. She thrusts all the instruments into your skin at once, and if she bites a blood vessel, she'll get a full dinner in about a minute. She has gone to find a place to rest. Heavy with your blood, she picks a spot, a leaf, or a wall, or a stone, to quietly lay her eggs. Just one drop of blood will produce hundreds of eggs. Where is her mate? Well, their relationship is over, and he is no longer around. Their mating took place before she bit you. She will live 1 to 2 months and lay eggs 4 or 5 times during this time.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard.
22. Where can mosquitoes be found?
Twenty-three. What does it mean if a mosquito bites you?
24. What do you know about a female mosquito according to the passage?
25. Which of the following is true? 6. It is only natural that every one of us may, at some point in life, be called upon to make a speech, but most of us will worry a great deal out of fear that we may not do a very good job. Well, here is some advice you will find useful should such an occasion arise. So now you have to give a speech, and you are terrified. At the thought, you get nervous, so much so that you gnaw at your fingernails. You stumble over your words and you forget what you want to say, or you talk too long and you bore your audience. But cheer up, it really doesn't have to be that bad. Here are some simple steps that will take the pain out of your speech making. First of all, remember, it is important to plan beforehand what you are going to say. Then ask yourself the purpose of your speech. Now let us suppose you have been asked to introduce the main speaker at a conference. It is all right to tell a joke or an anecdote if it is in good taste and will not embarrass the speaker. And most important, be brief. If you are giving a lecture or explaining an idea, gather as many facts as you can on your subject. Spend plenty of time doing research. Then spend plenty of time organizing your material so that your speech will be clear and easy to follow. Never forget your audience. Don't talk over their heads and don't talk down to them either. Pause for a few seconds now and then to give your audience a chance to think about what you have said. Make sure everyone in the room can hear you. It is only natural that every one of us may, at some point in life, be called upon to make a speech. But most of us will worry a great deal out of fear that we may not do a very good job. Well, here is some advice you will find useful should such an occasion arise. So now you have to give a speech, and you are terrified at the thought. You get nervous, so much so that you gnaw at your fingernails. You stumble over your words and you forget what you want to say, or you talk too long and you bore your audience. But cheer up, it really doesn't have to be that bad. Here are some simple steps that will take the pain out of your speech making. First of all, remember, it is important to plan beforehand what you are going to say. Then ask yourself the purpose of your speech. Now let us suppose you have been asked to introduce the main speaker at a conference. It is all right to tell a joke or an anecdote if it is in good taste and will not embarrass the speaker. And most important, be brief. If you are giving a lecture or explaining an idea, gather as many facts as you can on your subject. Spend plenty of time doing research.Then, spend plenty of time organizing your material so that your speech will be clear and easy to follow. Never forget your audience. Don't talk over their heads and don't talk down to them either. Pause for a few seconds now and then to give your audience a chance to think about what you have said. Make sure everyone in the room can hear you. It is only natural that every one of us may, at some point in life, be called upon to make a speech. But most of us will worry a great deal out of fear that we may not do a very good job. Well, here is some advice you will find useful should such an occasion arise. So now you have to give a speech, and you are terrified at the thought. You get nervous, so much so that you gnaw at your fingernails. You stumble over your words and you forget what you want to say, or you talk too long and you bore your audience. But cheer up, it really doesn't have to be that bad. Here are some simple steps that will take the pain out of your speech making. First of all, remember, it is important to plan beforehand what you are going to say. Then ask yourself the purpose of your speech. Now let us suppose you have been asked to introduce the main speaker at a conference. It is all right to tell a joke or an anecdote if it is in good taste and will not embarrass the speaker. And most important, be brief. If you are giving a lecture or explaining an idea, gather as many facts as you can on your subject. Spend plenty of time doing research. Then spend plenty of time organizing your material so that your speech will be clear and easy to follow. Never forget your audience. Don't talk over their heads and don't talk down to them either. Pause for a few seconds now and then to give your audience a chance to think about what you have said. Make sure everyone in the room can hear you.